if someone follows and no one...
I'm Tom Ashbrook. We're listening to Senator Joseph Biden at the Democratic National Convention. This is On Point.
But let no friend or foe mistake our basic decency for a lack of resolve. Americans will fight with every fiber in their being to protect our country and our people. And John Kerry, when he is Commander-in-Chief, will not hesitate to unleash the awesome power of our military on any nation or group that does us harm, and without asking anyone's permission. This is a man...
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is Senator Joseph Biden addressing the Democratic National Convention. This is On Point.
...combat, who will never send our sons and daughters to war before exhausting every other alternative. And then, if he must, he will not send them without giving them every tool necessary to win. When John Kerry is president, military preemption will remain, as it has always been, an option. But John Kerry will build a true prevention strategy to defuse dangers long before the only option is war. When John Kerry is president, our friends and allies will have no excuse to remain on the sidelines. And above all, when John Kerry is president, he will level with the American people, for he will inherit a world and a nation that will require him to ask much of us and of our allies. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I have not a single doubt that this generation of Americans will rise to whatever is asked of them. They will rise to the moment. For as long as we are here, they desire to do great things. And John Kerry, as a student of history, understands why we prevailed when our nation faced grave peril in the past. He understands that the terrorists may be beyond our reach, and we must defeat them. But he also understands that hundreds of millions of hearts and minds are open to our ideas and our ideals, and we must reach them as well. Ladies and gentlemen, our friends on the other side love to quote the Bible. Just as Joshua's trumpets brought down the walls of Jericho, just as American values brought down the Berlin Wall, so will radical fundamentalists fall to the terrible swift power of our ideas as well as our swords. My fellow delegates, it's time to recapture the totality of America's strength. It's time to restore our nation to the respect it once had. It's time to reclaim America's soul. It's time to elect John Kerry, President of the United States of America. Thank you.
Senator Joseph Biden, the Democrats' great foreign policy authority, on the podium at the Democratic National Convention tonight. We are live at the convention in Boston, counting down now to John Kerry's big speech. And asking you to join us, asking you what John Kerry needs to deliver tonight, you can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm joined tonight by On Point news analyst Jack Beatty, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly. Jack, great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
And by Joan Vinaki, columnist for the Boston Globe. Joan, great to have you with us again tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
So we've got a big lineup coming in this hour, and we're going to listen and to a lot of it. We're going to be hearing in just a few minutes from General Wesley Clark. We'll hear from Joe Lieberman, Nancy Pelosi, General Wesley Clark taking the podium right now. And we will be at the same time as we hear their rhetoric, thinking about what John Kerry will, may deliver tonight himself, what he needs to deliver tonight. Wesley Clark has taken the microphone now. He's getting a big, rousing reception from the crowd in the convention hall. General Wesley Clark.
Thank you. Thank you, my fellow Democrats. I'm an American soldier. Our country has been attacked. We are at war. Our nation's at risk. And we are engaged in a life and death struggle against terrorists who are seeking nuclear and biological weapons. As we are gathered here tonight, our armed forces are in combat. Our freedoms were won in war. Our freedoms have been protected generation after generation by the selfless service and sacrifice of men and women in uniform. From Bunker Hill to Bastogne, from the frozen
hills. This is on point. General Wesley Clark is addressing the Democratic National Convention.
From Kabul to Baghdad, American men and women in uniform have served with honor. They've given us so much. They've asked for so little. Tonight, please give them a round of applause. Honor them, our veterans, our families. Give them a round of applause. We love our men and women in uniform.
John Kerry had a tableau of many military leaders on stage last night. General Wesley Clark on stage tonight. Lots of applause.
I want all America to see our party and how we respect our men and women who serve. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank my wife, Gert, my son, Wesley, his wife, Astrid, their son, and all of the military families especially who've stood year after year behind those who have served in uniform. But I ask you now to observe with me just a moment of silence to honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have the freedoms that we exercise here tonight.
General Wesley Clark going the extra mile here to plant the flag for Democratic Party. Respect of the American military. Delegates responding to this call for a moment of silence, some bowing their heads in a posture of prayer.
Seen the tracer squad, bled on the battlefield, recovered in hospitals, received and obeyed orders, sent men and women into battle, awarded medals, comforted families, attended funerals. And this soldier has news for you tonight. Anyone who tells you that one political party has a monopoly on the best defense of our nation is committing a fraud on the American people. Franklin Roosevelt said it best. Franklin Roosevelt said, repetition does not transform a lie into the truth. This hall, this Democratic Party, are filled with veterans who have served under the American flag. And this is our flag. Right there. That flag. We saluted this flag. We rose up in the morning and stood reveille to this flag. We fought for that flag. We've seen brave men and women buried under that flag. That flag is ours, and nobody, nobody will take it away from us. We're the party, we're a party that America can trust. But we've got to tell the truth, and the truth is this.
The safety of our country demands urgent and innovative measures to strengthen our armed forces. The safety of our country demands credible intelligence. The safety of our country demands cooperation with our allies. The safety of our country demands making more friends and fewer enemies. The safety of our country demands an end to the doctrinaire, ineffective policies that currently grip Washington. Enough is enough. A safe America, a just America, that's what we want. That's what we need. And with John Kerry and John Edwards, that is what we will achieve. John Kerry has heard the thump of enemy mortars. He's seen the flash of the tracers. He's lived the values of service and sacrifice in the Navy, as a prosecutor, as a senator. He proved his physical courage under fire, and he's proved his moral courage, too. John Kerry fought a war, and I respect him for that. And he came home to fight a peace, and I respect him for that, too.
The hall on its feet now, as Wesley Clark acknowledges John Kerry's Vietnam service and Vietnam protest.
Of physical courage and moral values is my definition of what we need as Americans in our commander-in-chief. And John Edwards, with his leadership and extraordinary intelligence, he's going to be a great member of that command team. John Kerry is a man who in time of war can lead us as a warrior. But in times of peace, he will heed the call of Scripture to lead us in beating swords into plowshares. John Kerry will lead America with strength and wisdom. He has the will to fight. He has the moral courage born in battle to pursue and secure a strong peace. Under John Kerry, I have no doubt, and neither should any American, that we are going to attack and destroy the terrorist threat to America. John Kerry will join that pantheon of great wartime Democrats, great Democrats like Woodrow Wilson, who led us to victory in World War I. Great Democrats like Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman, who turned back the tide of fascism to win World War II. Great Democrats like John Kennedy, who stood firm and steered us safely through the Cuban Missile Crisis. And great Democrats like Bill Clinton, who confronted ethnic cleansing in Yugoslavia and, with diplomacy backed by force, brought peace to a shattered land. My fellow Americans, Democrats are leaders and Democrats are fighters. And John Kerry is a leader, a fighter, and he will be a great commander-in-chief. You see, John Kerry knows that the power of America is not just our armed forces and our weaponry. It's really the power of our values and ideals. And John Kerry knows that the members of our armed forces embody the best of America's values: service, sacrifice, courage, compassion. He knows that the members in the armed forces are serving to build something greater than themselves. They're serving to build something worth fighting for. They're serving to build something worth dying for. John Kerry knows that the men and women who serve and our veterans are a company of heroes. And everyone who fights for the best in American life is also a hero. Firemen, police officers, teachers, and so many others. I say to you tonight, John Kerry's time to lead this company of heroes has arrived. Right here, right now, in this town, tonight, from this place, we set out together to put our country back on track to security and freedom and opportunity. America, hear this soldier. Choose a leader whose physical courage, moral values, and sound judgment with the grace of God and our determined commitment will strengthen our country, protect our liberty, renew our spirit, and secure a future for our children that is worthy of our heritage. Make John Kerry the next president of the United States. Thank you.
General Wesley Clark addressing the Democratic National Convention in Boston, where John Kerry himself will take the podium in an hour and some from now. We are going to hear a lot from Democrats tonight who are building more steps on that ramp up to the Kerry speech. Joe Lieberman, Nancy Pelosi, Madeleine Albright. We're looking tonight at what John Kerry himself needs to deliver when he takes the stage before this crowd of what is sure to be adoring Democrats here in Boston and before the entire country. On Point News analyst Jack Beattie is with us tonight, the Boston Globe's Joan Vinaki. And right now we're joined as well by Joe Lockhart, former press secretary for President Bill Clinton. Joe, there's Wesley Clark laying down that marker on national security. Americans, listen to this soldier. John Kerry will join the pantheon of great wartime American Democratic presidents, he says. But John Kerry will have the microphone soon. What does he need to say tonight, Joe?
Well, he needs to not finish the deal or close the deal, but he really does need to open a conversation with the public. Part of it is I think the public wants to like their presidential candidate. The president spends so much time through the television in people's homes, in their living rooms, and they want to like him. And I think John Kerry needs to come across as someone who's human and engaging. So I think that's it. That's one. Probably more importantly, he's got to demonstrate strength. And you've seen a lot of the lead up here. It's been unprecedented for Democrats to have a parade of military generals come in and say,
John Kerry. Last night on stage.
Yeah, to say the Democrat is the one who's good for our military, not the Republican. That's different. And, I think people will pay attention to that. But the reality is, most of this is happening outside prime time. So when the vast majority of Americans watch tonight, what they'll see is John Kerry himself. So I think, he's got to prove to the public that he has what it takes to be the commander-in-chief, the strength. And I think once he's done that, the rest of the campaign is relatively straightforward. I think the public believes that the president's domestic record is a failure. They believe that his foreign policy is in real trouble, particularly our policy in Iraq. But frankly, they'll stick with this president if they don't think Kerry has what it takes to be the commander-in-chief. That's what tonight's about.
Joan Vinaki, there's a former press secretary for a Democratic president saying he doesn't have to close the deal tonight and describing a landscape where John Kerry, has a lot to prove, but on the other hand has a lot of favorable conditions going for him. What do you think John Kerry needs to prove to say tonight?
That sounds like a little bit of an escape hatch that Joe was putting out there.
Away from the speech of a lifetime.
From the speech of a lifetime and saying there's more to this campaign. And actually, I happen to agree with that because I think more important than the speech is going to be the head-to-heads between Bush and Kerry, where people will make their judgments when they take the measure of the two men, standing there and speaking and answering questions. But as far as tonight, I'd say it's more than time enough for him to make his own case. Granted, the entire world isn't listening to all these speeches, but even if they're listening to some of them, they now know that old soldiers think John Kerry has the judgment, leadership, and character to lead the country forward. Now he's got to tell that to the people. And I was just going to add one other thing. This is a dream, really, of Kerry's lifetime. If ever there was a candidate who's kind of plotted and strategized his political life, it is John Kerry.
From his teens.
I mean, imagine what it must feel like to stand up there and kind of feel the dream in your hand and, just within your grasp. And if that doesn't humanize someone, and if that doesn't inspire someone, then I don't know what would, actually.
He's to the point, nearly, of realizing a dream, the dream of standing before this convention in any case. Jack Beatty, there it is. Tall requirement, speech of a lifetime.
Yeah, you know, the one area where President Bush is ahead, clearly, is on handling the war on terror. Polls give him 5, 6, some as many as 10 points. John Kerry in Philadelphia said, "My friends, I can and will fight a more effective war on terror than President Bush." And he's going to try to do that tonight with a story and with a metaphor. Really, this campaign, I think, goes back to that metaphor of Kerry in charge on that boat in that river. That boat is America. He's the captain. Are we safe?
We will see and hear more about that tonight. Senator Joseph Lieberman has taken the podium at the Fleet Center in Boston. We will turn to him now. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Unless we can restore the American people's sense of personal security, shattered on September 11, 2001, when we were brutally attacked by Islamist terrorists who hate us more than they love their own lives. Fanatics who are as great a threat to our security and freedom as the Nazis and communists we defeated in the last century. Make no mistake, this war, like those earlier conflicts, is a war of values. Our enemies reject our values, our founding faith that every child on earth is endowed by our Creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Dear friends, we have to give the people of this great country their sense of security back again. To do that, we need strong leaders who know when to use American power to destroy these Islamist terrorists. But we also need wise leaders who know when and how to build bridges with Islamic people throughout the world.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Senator Joseph Lieberman is addressing the delegates.
On the faith that we share in one God and the dreams we share of a better future for all of God's children. That's the kind of strong and balanced leadership that we will get when John Kerry and John Edwards are in the White House. That's what we have to do to make America secure again. We also must keep our military strong. We must support our brave troops. They are the new greatest generation. They have liberated Afghanistan and Iraq from murderous tyrannies. They are fighting tonight in both of those nations to defeat terrorists and allow democratic governments to grow there. John Kerry and John Edwards are committed to finishing that work, to honoring the service of our soldiers, and to supporting them and their families when they come home. To make America secure again, we must strengthen our defenses here at home. I am proud that after September 11th, it was Democrats who led the way in creating the Department of Homeland Security. And I'll tell you this, John Kerry and John Edwards will be there to support and strengthen that department. To make America secure, Americans must be reunited. And you and I, in this campaign, can do our part to reunite our country by embracing John Edwards' stirring call last night for a politics of hope, not hatred. And to me, that means disagreeing with our opponents, not demonizing them. It means supporting the Kerry Edwards positive, constructive, affirmative vision for a better future for the American people. Take a look at this week's convention. Take a look at yourselves. You have set the standard for what this campaign should be all about. If we keep it up, we're going to win the support of all those we need to send John Kerry and John Edwards to the White House. That means we're going to win the support of all of those Americans, millions of them, yearning to cast a vote not of protest, but of promise. And John Kerry and John Edwards offer that promise. My friends, as president, John Kerry is going to be guided by the legacies of past Democratic presidents who have protected our security and advanced our principles in the world. Woodrow Wilson's commitment to make the world safe for democracy, FDR's commitment to end isolationism and defeat fascism, Harry Truman's commitment to stop communism with the swords of the military and the plowshares of the Marshall Plan, John F. Kennedy's commitment to a muscular and idealistic internationalism, Jimmy Carter's commitment to protect human rights around the world, and Bill Clinton's commitment to strengthen our alliances everywhere in the world.
Senator Joseph Lieberman addressing the delegates at the Democratic National Convention as a big lineup continues to roll out here tonight in advance of Senator John Kerry, nominated formally last night as the Democrats' candidate for the presidency. Nancy Pelosi will be up in just a few minutes at the dais, the House Democratic leader. Joan Vinaki with the Boston Globe, we're getting excerpts of John Kerry's speech now coming out. He says this is the most important election of our lifetime in one of his early lines that he'll deliver to the American people tonight, and goes on to make his case.
I'm looking at it as you are, too, and I've heard that line before, but I'm sure that as we read further down, there'll be some more nuggets in there.
Does it matter? Does it matter if it's an all-new speech tonight, Joe Lockhart?
No, I don't think so, because while reporters have been following John Kerry's speeches around the country, the American public hasn't. Unless you happen to live in Iowa or New Hampshire, you haven't been exposed to John Kerry very much. I mean, he's not on the evening news every night. Mostly it's been stories about Iraq and other things in the country. So I think he should use what works. And you take what works in the primaries, you put together what you think your calculus is for setting forth your general election strategy. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you disappoint a few reporters who have been traveling around with you for months and months and months.
If you get the big audience.
Well, I'll wait to hear, you know, before I'll reserve judgment until we hear it. But I don't see, I'll have to hear the intimacy that we've been talking about that he needs.
We're looking at John Kerry's big speech tonight and asking you, listeners, what you want to hear, what you need to hear from John Kerry tonight. I want to turn to Michelle calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys doing this evening?
Just great, Michelle. What's on your mind?
The one thing that I want to hear from John Kerry tonight, and I've been watching the convention over the last few days, and I've really have enjoyed it, and it's really sad that it hasn't been viewed by the general public as much unless you have C-SPAN or something, or if you're that interested. But
yep.
The point I want to make is that I'd like to hear John Kerry explain to me why he voted inconsistently on the Iraq War. Why he voted yes, and then he voted no. We get a little campaigning here in North Carolina, and there's a lot for the Republican Party, and they're constantly, that's the message they keep honing to us, is that he waffles, that he can't be trusted. And I actually got a chance to see him when he came to Raleigh for a campaign speech. He did a great job, and I'd like him to explain to people what was he thinking, what was the yes and then the no vote.
Right, you want to hear that explanation again tonight. Michelle, thanks for your call. Jack Beatty, there is part of the challenge right there for John Kerry to convey both his nuance and the platform has been built for him, Bill Clinton, saying on the first night, we can't just have stubbornness, we need to have wisdom, both his nuance and his strength.
Yes, but you can't evade the fact he voted for this war. Now, he says, I voted so that we could put pressure on the UN. Senator Byrd stood up in that chamber and he said, don't fool yourselves, senators. You are voting for war. You're voting to send young men and women to their death. Now, he's got to answer for that. He's got to answer for this war. And how he deals with that, how he runs against Bush on Iraq, having endorsed the war, and then how he runs against the Bush charge. By gosh, you voted for the war, but then you didn't vote for the appropriation. Why? Well, the reason is so clear. That was a political vote, the vote against the appropriation. The Democrats, the Democratic primary voters wanted some sign from him and from Edwards that they weren't hawks, that they were willing to take a stand against the president. Now, you can't say I made a political vote because it was symbolic.
Doesn't play so well now.
And he's given seven different answers, so far as I know, about why he voted, how to reconcile the two votes, and how to reconcile the vote for this war with the vote against Gulf War I. He's got a lot of explaining to do. He may not even try to.
Jack, step back from the war issue for a moment. We know it's a hot one. We've talked about it this week, and Michelle's raising it right now. But stepping back from that, what do you see as the bigger challenge for John Kerry tonight?
Well, I think that, you know, the question mark about this convention and about his speech is going to be, was the positive road a strategic miscalculation?
Let's not go negative this week, and John Kerry laid that down himself.
That's right. You know, in an election where there's an incumbent president, it's a referendum on him and his performance. There has not been a glove laid on that during this convention.
On George Bush's performance.
Now, is that a missed opportunity, or was that the right thing to do? That's the big question, I think, politically out of here.
Let's go back to the convention floor and see what Nancy Pelosi has to say to that House minority leader from California.
Their families, their faith, and their freedom. This week, Democrats come to Boston to renew that dream, to reclaim a better future for our families, to express our faith in God and country, and to preserve the freedom we cherish. Tonight, we will hear from the next President of the United States. John Kerry is an exceptional leader, and he will make an outstanding president. John Kerry has brought Democrats together with optimism, with strength, and with determination to restore the values that have always made America strong at home and respected in the world. But let me be very clear. Our work will not be complete unless we elect a Democratic Congress. When I was elected leader, I pledged to my colleagues that never again would Democrats go into an election without telling the American people who we are, what we stand for, how different we are from the Republicans, and what we are willing to fight for. Now hear this. Every day, in every debate, in every vote, House Democrats are fighting to bring prosperity, opportunity, and security to every corner of America. First and foremost, we are fighting for those who wear America's uniform, so that our military is second to none. Republicans have sent our troops into battle in Iraq without a plan and have cut veterans' benefits without remorse. Democrats have it right. Protect our troops and honor our veterans. And Democrats have put forth a positive agenda to grow the economy, create millions of good jobs here at home, and promote small businesses. Republicans offer tax loopholes to outsource American jobs. Democrats have it right. Invest in America and in our people. Democrats are dedicated to expanding access to quality, affordable health care. Republicans stand by while millions of everyday Americans lose their health insurance. Democrats have it right. Health care is not a privilege. Health care is a right.
Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi of California, the House Minority Leader, addressing the delegates on the floor of the convention hall. Of course, it will be John Kerry's speech that really matters tonight. Joe Lockhart, let me ask you on this front. Of John Kerry's personality, his character, and how it conveys, George W. Bush is very effective at coming across as a regular guy who stood up and led after 9/11, but nevertheless a regular guy, shirt sleeves up. John Kerry, what can he come across as? What should he come across as? If he comes across as himself, does that sell?
I think it does. We are not living in a trivial time of American politics where, Oprah or Jerry Springer gets to decide what the issues are. People have a real sense of the seriousness of this election, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. That's in contrast to 2000, where most people, if you really push them, said, I don't think there's a big difference between George Bush and Al Gore. And that was obviously a problem for Al Gore, because that's what the Bush strategy was, to sort of fuzz up the differences. I think he's got to come off as himself and genuine. He is not a guy who's going to go to a ranch in Crawford, Texas, and spend the summer clearing brush.
Though he may need to get out of town soon and get to a ranch, be seen on horseback after a week in the Northeast. Yeah. Jim Vinucky, same question to you. John Kerry, he's got the character that he's got, and it can come across as kind of aristocratic, high-toned. How should he come across to the American public tonight?
I think I agree with Joe on this. I don't think likability or the old definition of likability is going to be as big a deal this time around. Remember in 1988, Michael Dukakis said the campaign was not about ideology, it was about competence. He was wrong then. But this time around, it might be about competence, not, passion or emotion or, drinking, looking like a guy you want to have a picnic with.
So not just being a regular guy. Listeners, you can join our conversation tonight. What do you want to hear? What do you need to hear from John Kerry when he takes the platform this evening? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Earlier today, our reporter, Audie Cornish, WBUR reporter, spoke with one of the stars of this week, Barack Obama, and asked him what he wanted to hear in John Kerry's address tonight.
I just think John Kerry needs to be himself. If he talks about his biography, if he talks about the 20 years of experience he's brought to bear in the Senate and his track record in terms of working on some of the toughest issues that we face as a nation, then I think he'll be just fine.
Barack Obama earlier today talking about John Kerry's speech tonight. Jack Bean, I want to get you on this issue of character and persona as well. We've got Joe Lockhart and John Vinucky both saying, in effect, the issues are so serious this time that this is not a personality contest. And the candidate can't use a twinkle in his eye to win the White House. And yet John Kerry's a far cry from the twinkle-eyed charmer in many respects. He has a very sober mien.
He does, and I agree that the zeitgeist would seem to prize that, but I do think there's got to be a minimum of warmth. Democrats are about caring. They're about compassion. They're about an open heart. And we know he's got a great head. I mean, he's certainly a very thoughtful guy. Maybe he's thoughtful to a fault. But we need to have a feeling about him that he has human, that he has emotions, that he has feelings toward other people, that he is not simply Mount Rushmore. He's a man first. And I think, in a way, he's got to sort of live down his visage. And we can see that craggy face, that behind that serious countenance is a person with a heart and with some flavor.
Joan, what do you know about preparation for this speech tonight? Who's been involved? Where they've been involved? John Kerry's hunkering down. How much has he written himself? How much is committee?
I will fully confess that I know what I read in the Boston Globe. So there's no
it's not a bad start.
There's no first-hand knowledge here. And, I mean, I've seen the pictures of him with the long legal pads writing out things in longhand, which is amazing in its own right. I mean, I don't...
On his rocking chair on Nantucket, if I saw that photo correctly.
Nice view for speech.
Yeah, Kennedy-esque image there. Jack?
And, in fact, he's called in some Kennedy speech writers. He called in Ted Sorensen and Dick Goodwin to massage the speech. So we may well hear some Kennedy-esque antitheses here. Ask not... Etc.
Right, that's not etc. We saw some of that earlier today in the New York Times. Ted Sorensen and others gave just a little bit of what they would say. And I have to say, Ted Sorensen's speech was a lot tougher than the tone I've heard a lot of tonight. He said he would begin it. Only 96 days remain to take back our country from the most secretive, hypocritical, and dangerous band of ideologues in our government history. That's tough language from the old Kennedy man. Jim.
Yeah, he's playing it the other way. The Democrats could have played it soft or hard. They're playing it soft and hoping that won't alienate the swing voter.
Joe Lockhart? I just don't agree that the Democrats are playing it soft. Let me read you a sentence here. As president, I will ask hard questions and demand hard evidence. I will immediately reform the intelligence system so policy is guided by facts and facts are never distorted by politics. He's basically calling the president someone who took us to war and misled us into war. But he's doing it in a way that goes to people's intelligence, not going after him and demonizing the president. You will not beat this president by demonizing him. You'll beat him by not doing his job.
I think, though, that you might, but that's a lot of words to say he lied.
Joan, it may be. Hold the thought. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Nancy Pelosi wrapping up on the podium now at the Democratic National Convention. We will be hearing from Madeleine Albright and a lot more this evening as this convention goes ahead. We'll be hearing from many of John Kerry's Vietnam veteran comrades. We'll be hearing from his two daughters before the candidate takes the stage tonight. There'll be a video played in the convention hall tonight. Steven Spielberg had some hand in advising on that, so we can imagine that it will be, well, we know what Hollywood can do with a video, and they'll presumably will do their best with it for John Kerry tonight. You can join our conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. What do you want, what do you need to hear from candidate Kerry this evening at the Democratic National Convention in Boston? That's 1-800-423-8255. Jack Beatty, Jesse Jackson saying this week, just in the last few hours, I guess, John Kerry's job is not that tough given the big speeches that have come this week. Jesse Jackson saying he's riding a tidal wave. The challenge is not that great. He's riding a big wave that was built by Bill Clinton, by Barack Obama, and even last night by John Edwards.
Yes, the trouble is that with the demographics now, many fewer people saw that preparation, as we'll tune in to hear Kerry tonight. So that platform was built, but unfortunately the larger audience, perhaps even a factor of half, is going to increase tonight. People who didn't see this build-up and who are just going to be coming at this, all right, let's give him a look.
And they may just see him on his own.
He's going to have to do it on his own.
Well, that's a more daunting prospect. You sit in Boston and see the quite terrific speeches that have come before, and it's a different matter than if people just check in for John Kerry himself on his own hook this night.
Yes, and he has had a bad habit, speechwriters will admit this, of going off the speech, of improvising, and often it's to put a complicated thought out there. That's not what he needs tonight. He needs crispness, clearness, vigor.
Vigor, and presumably he knows that. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point at the Democratic National Convention. We are taking your calls tonight, looking forward to John Kerry's speech, asking what he needs to deliver. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. A sea of American flags inside the convention hall now, and we see Willie Nelson standing before what looks like a gospel choir. He is about to sing for the president. The man who would be president. Let's listen in.
Give us your tired and weak.
Willie Nelson.
And we'll make them strong. Bring us your foreign song. We will sing along. Leave us your broken dreams. We'll give them time to mend. There's still a lot of love living in the promised land. Living in the promised land. Our dreams are made of steel. The prayer of every man is to know how freedom feels. There is a winding road across the shifting sand, and room for everyone living in the promised land. So we came.
Willie Nelson giving the delegates on the floor a little musical interlude before they get back down to speechifying. We're talking about John Kerry's big speech tonight at 1-800-423-8255. I'm joined by Joe Lockhart, former press secretary for President Bill Clinton, by Boston Globe columnist Joan Vinaki, and our own Jack Beatty, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly. You can join us as well. Veronica is calling from St. Mary's, Georgia. Hi, Veronica. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Great to have you.
My comment is that I feel like the past 3 days, the speeches have been inspiring, especially Clinton. Al Sharpton and Obama's speech. And tonight's speech seemed to be more rhetorical, catering toward more political type of speeches that seem a little tired. And I'm hoping that Kerry can pull off a speech that has similar characteristics of those other three speakers.
You want him to cut loose a little, not be so buttoned up. and we hear it. Veronica, thanks for your call. Joan, few of the speakers have gone off of the script this week. Al Sharpton did last night and let loose with some riffs, and we understand got his knuckles wrapped afterward for going way over time. But here's a caller saying, look, don't be so boilerplate. I want to be inspired by what I'm hearing tonight.
I think anything's possible, but the idea of John Kerry going off into Al Sharpton riffs seems highly unlikely to me. You know, it will be interesting to see, though, in the aftermath of all of this attention on strength, is in the end what people want to hear. They're painting this picture of a warrior, maybe a compassionate warrior, and they're so afraid of being seen as soft that they, I think, are made back too far away from what really connects with people, as John Edwards did. And that's not speechifying. That's more like a discussion and a conversation with people.
Can John Kerry deliver the inspiring speech? Is he capable of that?
Well, I'm going to say yes, Tom. You know why? Because, again, I'm in my big context of Massachusetts. People running for president is Michael Dukakis, who was maybe stiffer than John Kerry, shorter and less presidential looking. And on that night in Atlanta in 1988, when he walked out there and Neil Diamond was pounding in the background, yeah. Coming to America, he got up there. He was overcome with as much emotion as the Duke could be overcome with, and he gave a pretty good speech.
If Mike Dukakis can do it,
I'm going to say John Kerry can do it too.
Let's go back to the convention hall, to the podium, where Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, is at the microphone.
I have been privileged to know Senator John Kerry for 20 years, and I look forward soon to knowing President John Kerry. Because in this era of renewed danger, I want a chief executive who has the experience and sound judgment to keep America strong, secure, and safe. I want a president who will lead in the tradition not only of John F. Kennedy, but also of America's greatest generation, Roosevelt, Truman, and Eisenhower. I want a president like John Kerry, who will keep faith with our military families because he knows what it's like to wear the uniform and to put his life on the line for country and flag. We all know that throughout history, freedom has been opposed by dictators and aggressors, fascists and communists. Examples of each still plague the world. But in recent years, we have seen arise a new and evil tide, terrorism. As President, John Kerry will lead America and our allies to defeat and destroy terrorist groups around the world. Our adversaries have nothing to offer their followers except hatred, destruction, and death. America is a champion of liberty, prosperity, and peace. John Kerry knows that it is not enough just to say that America wants to defeat terror and rid the world of evil. Wanting something is not the same as doing something. You have to have a strategy that works. As President, John Kerry will mobilize the full arsenal of American power, including military, intelligence, diplomacy, law enforcement, and the enduring inspiration of democratic ideals. He will respond firmly to the present danger while acting wisely to prevent a future generation of anti-American terrorists from arising and gaining a foothold around the world. He will use intelligence to shape policy, not twist intelligence to justify policy. And he will stop the spread of the globe's most dangerous weapons by concentrating on where those weapons are instead of where they are not. In our confrontation with terror, John Kerry will not seek a truce, he will not expect surrender, and he will not settle for stalemate. His goal will be victory. Under his leadership, we will persist until we prevail.
Former Secretary of State under the Clinton administration, Madeleine Albright, at the podium. We're looking ahead to John Kerry's speech, which is coming right up now. Senator Joseph Biden joins us. Senator Biden, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
We've been hearing and talking all night about what John Kerry needs to deliver tonight. What do you think he needs to deliver?
I think all he has to deliver is when people turn off their television sets and say, you know, I kind of like that guy. I think I could trust him. I think that's all he has to do.
No speech of a lifetime requirement, no high bar.
No. Can you imagine if that requirement was there for President Kennedy when he delivered his acceptance speech or when anybody else you know who's nominated? Nobody knows who these candidates are when they get to the point where they're being nominated. They know who they are. They have no notion what their ideas are. For good reason, because the national press, the political parties don't focus on the details of any of that. You all necessarily, National Public Radio is probably the single exception. But, and this is not a criticism, it's an observation. You focus on the horse race, you focus on, you know, John Kerry's laid out in meticulous detail his positions on foreign policy. And people say, I don't know John Kerry's position on foreign policy. Well, the reason they don't, no one's covered it. Well, with good reason. You need to cover a speech. And this is repetition, repetition. So the gun's going off tonight. I think this is the first time, and Joe's knows, forgot more about this than I'm going to know, but... You know, I think it's the first time people are probably getting out their Coca-Cola and their can of beer and their popcorn. They're going to sit down tonight after the, you know, the fillers like me and Secretary Albright and Clark filler. And all have finished. And they're going to say, let's take a look at this guy. And so I really don't think this has to be a speech of, if it is a speech of a lifetime, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But I think that's, I mean, you guys know better than I. How many people are going to watch this thing?
Well, we heard 18 and a half million on Monday night and maybe bigger tonight with John Kerry. But it has been quite a cavalcade of primetime speeches this week. And some of them were seen, Bill Clinton seen, yep. John Edwards seen. Does that make it easier or harder for John Kerry?
Well, I think it makes it easier for John Kerry because I think what all of the primetime speakers and the non-primetime guys like me, what we try to do is explain the John Kerry we know. I've known John Kerry for 32 years. I mean, he and I ran, not together, he ran for the House, I ran for the Senate, we had the same advisor, one of the most honorable guys dealing with campaigns, John Martilla. We got to know each other, we've worked together almost every day for 20-some years in foreign relations. This guy is a guy with steel on his backbone, man. This is a guy, you know, somebody said to me the other night, well, you know, I was on the Stewart show, and someone said he's going to ask you about the comment about Teresa Hines that he made. And my response was, well, first of all, if it was going to be, you know, if it was my wife, I'd kick your ass. That's right. No, not Teresa saying shove it. John Stewart saying her suit looked like 101 Dalmatians or whatever it was.
Okay.
And But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that John Kerry's got some real steel in him. And so I think what's helped is the speakers that have gone before talking about John Kerry, as well as laying out, which I think Clinton did, as only Clinton can do, brilliantly. And I think Mr. Obama did the same thing. And the power of their speeches, in my view, is not their style, and which is great. It's the logic. read them. They're logical. They fit together. They're coherent. They're fair. And so I think this sets it up for John in a way that I don't think people say, well, you know, he didn't speak as well as Bill Clinton. Or he didn't. I don't think that's how it works in American politics. If that's the case, Bush would never be president.
Joe Biden, thanks so much for
joining
us.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you.
Appreciate
Senator
it.
Senator Joe Biden with us. John Vinaki, you've watched John Kerry for a long time. He's going to have his big time in just a few minutes. What do you imagine is going through his head tonight, through John Kerry's own mind?
Well, I hope he's not listening to all of us say how he has to give the speech of a lifetime. And if he's listening
well,
to...
Well, not the Joes here, not Joe Lockhart and Joe
right.
Biden, good Democrats.
Right.
Whatever
I
he does, he'll
I
be
hope
fine.
He's listening to Joe Biden say that it, you know, he just has to get up and, you know, be logical and coherent. But, I think it's a little of this and a little of that in terms of what he has to do. You know, Joe Biden had a wonderful line in the speech that he gave earlier. He said, it is only leadership if someone follows and no one is following now. I think every speech has to have a few good, you know, squirrels of rhetoric that people will remember and take with them in terms of what the theme is. It doesn't have to be a barn burner or anything like that. And as far as what he's thinking right now, he's probably thinking like any other ordinary person would be thinking, I hope I can walk out there without tripping and falling on my face.
Joe Lockhart, final word. What would you whisper to John Kerry as he steps onto that stage? You're the former press secretary.
I think it's pretty simple. I think he's got to go out there and tell the public why he wants to be president, what he wants to do, and why he's qualified. I mean, this election to me looks a lot like 1980, where you have an increasingly unpopular president and a public looking at someone they don't know that well and making the very deep decision, do I trust him enough? Does he seem like he has the stuff to be president? Ronald Reagan didn't get it until 6 days before the election in the only debate. John Kerry can take a big step tonight toward that.
Joe Lockhart, former press secretary for President Bill Clinton, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
And Joan Vinaki, columnist with the Boston Globe, wonderful to have you.
Thank you.
Jack Beatty, it's been quite a week. The Democrats clearly feeling their oats, feeling good, waiting for John Kerry. We've just got half a minute. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are from a Texas delegate who I think said the most profound thing I've heard this week. She said, their problem, the Republicans, is arrogance. Our problem is anger. And there's something to that. Voters don't like the righteous anger of the Democrats. And their gamble here is they laid off that note. And let's see if that'll work for them.
They put the lid on that.
Yeah.
And let's see if that finally appeals to the nation. Well, it has been a fascinating week. A lot of talk about whether or not conventions are still worth paying attention to. I have to say, to my mind, it's a platform that's worth tuning into. I've learned a lot this week and seen a lot as well. Jack, it's been great having you here.
As always, pleasure to be with you.
Listeners, for full coverage of this week's Democratic National Convention, including speeches from Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards, and others, go to our website at onpointradio.org. It's been great having you all along for the week. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.